Thursday, 14th of April, Ches Ior, Rabbi Eli Pick, the right and the left.
Veshus Kola Kola Kadoshuze. Yimin Hashem Roimemo, Yimin Hashem Oisechoyel, Hashem Tzilcha Al Yadiminecho. I think everybody knows what the difference is between right and left. Right is such an important concept. There was once a famous atheist who had to get a brain scan. And the doctor called him in and said to him, "You've got two sides to your brain. You've got a left side and you've got a right side." So the atheist says to the doctor, "What are you telling me? Of course I know this." He says, "Yes, but in your left side there is nothing right, and in your right side there is nothing left." I told my friend in Manchester that I was a bit embarrassed that underneath my picture it says right and left, because people were teasing me, "Your right wing, your left wing." He said, "You think you got problems? We had a guy here in Taraway who was speaking about Ben Sura Umore." Once I was in a Beit HaMedrash, and Rabbi Yisrael Moshe Friedman Shlita wanted to hand me a letter which my father had once written to him. And he beckoned to me, and there was a very narrow space between the benches, so I inched towards him in this direction, leftwards, and I stretched out my hand, my left hand, and he wouldn't put into it. And he pointed at my other hand, "Yamin, Yamin." And it was quite awkward at the time, and I had to twist myself around in order to receive it from him. So I thought to myself, was this really necessary? And then I remembered that in the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Reish Vav, he talks about when you give somebody a sefer into the hand, you put it into their right hand. And whilst there may be cynics who think, does it really matter, the Meiri makes it clear in Gemara Shabbos in Samach Aleph that afilu b'shosh oskim b'tzorche gufom, even when we're dealing with mundane physical matters, libon poni l'kavonas avodas Hashem, one's heart is turned to serving Hashem in every single small way, we are serving Hashem l'shem shemayim. My son-in-law rang me up and he said, "I see that you're talking about the right and the left." I said, "Yes, all my sins." And he said, "Well, it's very topical, very seasonal." So I said to him, "Topical, seasonal. Oh, you're talking about last week's Seder, aren't you? Parshas Metzora. Because there in Parshas Metzora, where the Kohen is treating the Metzora, there's quite a repetition of the right-hand side. The right ear, Valboin Yodo Hayomonis. And there's another pasuk afterwards when it's dealing with the Matsara Oni. So we're dealing with blood of the offering on the right ear, on the right hand, and on the right foot. And the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Yud, gives a Gezera Shava that we learn out from this emphasis on the right hand side the din of Kmitza Samincha. We learn out the din of Chalitza of the Yovam, and we learn out the din of Ritzur of the Ozen, the piercing of the ear of the slave. All this is on the right hand side. And the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kaf Dalet also emphasizes the idea of the right. Whenever the Torah talks about Etzba or Kahuna, we're dealing with the right and not with the left. So my son-in-law said to me, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about last week's Sedra. I'm talking about this week's Sedra, Achrim Es Kedoshim." So I thought for a moment and I said, "Ah, I know what you're talking about. The two goats. The Gorolos. Menosan Aaron al Shnei Asim Gorolos, Posek Ches." And Rashi says, "Mamid Echod Liyamin," one goat is put to the right, "Lechod Lismul, Venosin Shnei Yodov." And he puts his two hands down, both the right hand and the left hand. And the Sisei Chachamim explains on Rashi that it's got to be b'nasino achas in one go, and it's impossible to do both with the right hand, so one has to have the right hand, one has to have the left hand. So my son-in-law said to me, "No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the actual avodah of Yom Kippurim." Nachas from the children. So he says, "Well, there's only one place where we have the idea of the left hand in the avodah on the Beis Hamikdosh." And he reminded me of the first Mishnah at the fifth perek of Masechta Yoma, which talks about the Kohen Gadol bringing the Machdor, for the Ketores. The Machdo is the Gachalei Eish, the burning coal, which he has to carry into the Kodesh Kodoshim, and he carries a spoon with a Ketores. And so he carries the Machdo in his right hand, and the spoon for the Ketores he carries in his left hand. So, now we can understand that he's got a lot to carry in the Kodesh Kodoshim. He can't have anybody going in there with him. He can only go in there by himself, so he has to do all the schlepping himself. But we can ask a question. Why is it that the Kohen Gadol is carrying the Machdor Gachalei Eish in his right hand and the spoon in the left hand? The spoon is surely the main part of the Ketores. It's the spoon which does the actual activity. The Machdor is really just ancillary to that, as a machshir, to help what one is doing with the spoon. So why is it that the Machdor is in the right hand and the spoon is in the left hand? Well, the Meiri writes this, and he says, well, we've got to be practical here. It's not just that it's heavier, it's burning coal. So we're a bit worried about him carrying that in the left hand. He's got to carry that in the right hand, which is the stronger hand. So although the spoon is the main thing, that is light, and he will put that in his left hand. So practicality seems to dominate everything. But is that always the case? When do we use the right, and when do we use the left? Is it just practicality, or is it just sometimes because the posuk said so, like we find with the Matzora? Or do we say that the right hand is chashivus, it's something which is important? Or sometimes it's just human anatomy that we use the right instead of the left, or the left instead of the right. I mean, everybody leans to the left at Seder night, because otherwise you'll choke because of the position of your windpipe. When we do the vidoy, it's always your right hand over your left, because that's where your heart is. The Ari HaKadosh says that the right stands for chesed. We use the right hand when we say the Shema to cover our eyes, irrespective of whether you're left-handed or right-handed. You wash your right hand first. With duchening, the kohanim will always swivel to the right. They will raise their right hand a bit more than their left hand. We blow the shofar, we put it on the right-hand side of the mouth. So the obvious question which comes from all this is, what does a left-handed person do? Does he always conform to his own biology and use his left hand instead of his right hand? Or does he also use the right hand in certain circumstances? We know that in connection with Tefillin, we know from the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Lamed Zayin, we say, Ukshatam Laos Al Yodicha, the last pasuk of Parshas Bo, where it says, you will tie on your hand, and Yodicha is spelt with a Chof Hei at the end. And the Gemara learns out, because Chof Hei is related to the word Chof Hei Hei, Yad Koa, which means the weak hand. And therefore you put your tefillin on your left hand, which is your weak hand. And the left-handed person put it on his right hand. Gemara also learns out from Ukashatam Ukhasavtam. Since you write it with your right hand, so also you will put it on with your right hand, namely on with your left hand. So in that case, we know that the left-handed person will put the tefillin on the other arm, on the right-hand side. But what about other things? What about lulav? We know, obviously, that the mezuzah is always on the right. Something's always on the right. We know that your bride stands under the chuppah next to you on your right. Did I hear somebody say it's because one's wife is always right? But it does depend on whether you're right-handed or left-handed, which hand you use to put the ring on the finger, and which hand she receives it with. So is it just about the strength or the practicality, or are there other examples? I mean, what about simple little things? When one is washing one's hands, one is holding food for a brocha, one is giving tzedakah, one uses one's right hand. So in Hilchos Brochos, in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Vov, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol dom shemavorech olov, sorich lachzor biyamino. Everything you make a brocha on, you hold with your right hand. So the Ramah writes, not in his usual place, but in the Da'akei Moshe Alatur, he says, Hu adin l'chol dvar mitzvah. In every single mitzvah, you use your right hand. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkot and Yud Zayin, Kedei Shiachavein Libo. In order that you can concentrate. By doing it your normal, natural way, that helps you have kavana. So that's why you do it that way. It comes more naturally. The Mishnah Berurah further says in the next Siv, Hatam Mishum Chashivus. Because the right hand is important. It's Choshev. And so, Rabbi Akiva Eger writes, somebody who's left-handed, for him, the left hand is choshuv, it's more important, so he will use his left hand when it comes to brochas and that kind of thing. But there are other reasons given as well. The Eliyahu Rabba writes that the right hand side symbolizes life. It says in the Pasuk in Mishlei Gimel, Erech Yomim V'Yomino. But nevertheless, when it comes to brachas, the left-handed person uses the left. So what about Nulav? There is, in fact, a machlokas rishonim about this. The Gemara in Sukkah, Lamed Aleph, Rabbah talks about the three minim you have in the right hand, because there are three mitzvahs there, and you've got the esrog in the left hand. And the Magen Avraham says, well, you're saying the bracha al netilas lulav, there's an emphasis on the lulav, so the lulav goes in your right hand. But the Rosh and the Rashba say that a left-handed person does the opposite. They base it on a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel, where the liability for writing on Shabbos comes from writing in the normal way. So you write with your right hand on Shabbos, you're chayv chatos. But if you write with your left hand, which is not your normal way, then it's not a proper malacha. Oddly, the Tur, who is the son of the Rosh, differs from his father. He says you take the lulav in your right hand, even if you are left-handed. Why? He says, quoting the Balo Itzur, because right is a sign of respect, a sign of kavod. So the Shulchan Aruch follows the Torah, that everybody takes it in their right hand, irrespective of whether they're right-handed or left-handed. But the Ramah, and that's the Menag Ashkenazim, he follows the Rosh, that the left-handed person uses the left hand. And in Ochas Rabbeinu, it talks about the Stipler Gaon, Rav Yaakov Kanievsky, who was left-handed, and he followed the Shulchan Aruch in Shul. He used the right hand for his lulav, but he took it again without a bracha when he came home and he used his left hand. Also, his son, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, is left-handed, which made it very puzzling for me, because there's a photograph in the Hamodiah 2 weeks ago where he's writing a letter in a Sefer Torah, and according to the photograph, he's using his right hand. If you write a Sefer Torah with your right hand when you're left-handed, then according to many opinions, the Sefer Torah is possible. Well, maybe he was just posing for the photograph, I don't know. If anyone's got an explanation, I'll be delighted to hear from them. But the same thing applies not only to Sefer Torah, but also tefillin, also to mezuzah. And the Magen Avraham says if you've used the wrong hand for the lulav, you should actually shake again. All right, without a bracha. So the Kaf HaChaim asks a question. He says, if the lulav stays on the right-hand side for the left-handed, why does a left-handed person bench with a kosher bracha using his left hand? Surely, if we're going to be consistent, then the left-handed person should use the right hand for both. He answers, the lulav represents malchus. So you are holding it with your right hand as respect for the melech. Whereas Bechas HaMozel, we go according to your personal self. More bit about Gavra and Cheftza, perhaps you could say. In the Shemona Esra, one clasps one's right hand over one's left hand. And the Beis Yosef writes in Hilchas Tefillah Tzadi Hei, he says this symbolizes the control of the Yetzer HaTov over the Yetzer Hara, by having the right hand over the left hand. And the Sfas Emes says that that's the same idea when you're putting on your tefillin, because the right hand, which is binding the tefillin, is the Yetzer HaTov, and it's having control over the left side, which symbolizes the Yetzer Hara. The right side also symbolizes Torah. The Ksav Sofer writes in his Perush on Vayechi that Yaakov Avinu, he gave a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe, and he crossed his hands. The right was put on Ephraim because Ephraim was considered greater in Torah. And there are a number of ideas brought by Rabbi Bezalel Stern in his Bezalel Chochma Chelek He in Siman Lamed Vov. He says the right withstands the mazikim. So al pi hanista, we want to emphasize that right has more control over these damaging effects, as it says in the Pasuk, Yipon mitzidcho elef revocho miminecho in Tilim Tadi Aleph. He also says it gives cover to the mitzvah, it gives chashivas to the mitzvah, it's a stronger hand, and by being the stronger hand, you will have more zerizos when you're doing the mitzvah, you will have a greater hidur when you're doing the mitzvah, and you're more didactic when you're actually performing it. And like the Mishnah Berurah, he says, it gives you greater concentration. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky actually lists different categories in order to understand when the left-handed person uses the left hand or the right hand. And when we look at these different categories, one generally gets an idea of when the left-handed person will use even the right hand. His first principle is strength, your koyach. As we said with the Kohen Gadol, carrying the Gachalei Eish, that it's a predominant thing that you have to use your strong hand for when you're carrying burning coals. And so this will apply to brachas, the coast of Berchas Hamozon, to your Besomim in Abdullah, to the Chanukah light, holding a Sefer Torah. It's easier that way, because that's your strength. Writing the Sefer Torah, tefillin, and as we spoke about, the Chosod and Kala with the dominant hand. So in those circumstances, the left-hand person will use the left hand. Similarly, in order to demonstrate a sign of weakness, there are times when we use the left hand. For example, when we take off the tefillin shel rosh because we want to show reluctance from taking it off, right-handed people take it off with the left hand. Or when you take a step back after Shemona Esra, you will move your left foot first because you are reluctant to move away from the Shechina. And your first bowing will be to the left side when you take your step back. So that's one category list. The second category list is Al-Pi HaMishta. He says Hashem's right is Chesed, and so the left-handed person will also do what right-handed people do in these things. Washing the right hand first, the right hand for the Shema over the eyes, as we've said, the right hand over the left for Yashmona Esra, the Kohen raising his right hand over his left in Duchening, blowing the shofar, having the shofar on the right hand side, the Hadas is on the right, and the Arol is on the left in the Arba Minim. There's a minag when one puts a hand on a matseva, one puts one's left hand on it. Putting on one's talis over one's left shoulder, there's the tefillin strap of the shel rosh hangs down a bit longer than the one on the left hand side. When we look at the light in the Havdalah candle, and we spoke about the color being on the right hand side, also when you have an aliyah, you're called up to the Sefer Torah, you let go of the Sefer Torah first with your left hand. So irrespective of whether you are right handed or left handed, that is the pattern which we follow. The third category he talks about is human anatomy, human biology. Like we said with leaning of the Seder, everybody leans to the left because it's more healthy that way. Or when one does Kriya for a parent, Rachmona Litzlon, it's on the left-hand side because that's Keneged Halev, the heart. When one sees the Beis Hamikdash site. When one does the Vidoy, obviously a left-handed person isn't going to do it the other way around. And one holds one's tzitzis between the fourth and fifth fingers before the Shema, because it's the Keneged Halev. Oh, well, the kissing of the tzitzis afterwards is with the right hand. His next category is Chashivus, importance. There he talks about the lulav, although we gave the details about the machlokas rishonim. The kos shel bracha, putting on a right shoe first. The chalitza, walking with one's rebbe. One's rebbe should be on one's right hand side. And when one puts one's tefillin shel rosh back in one's tefillin bag, it should be put back on the right hand side, says the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kof Ches. Some of those then, the left handed person will change and some of them he won't, as we've already discussed. But then his next category is when the Torah specifies. When the Torah says, with the Matzara, the right-hand side, in so many repetitious ways, then it's quite clear-cut. And the same would apply for the left-handed. Another category says the way to turn, which is really like a subheading. What does it mean, the way to turn? When you wave the lulav. The way the lulav, you will always wave on the right hand first rather than the left hand. When the Kohanim do their duchening, they will swivel round to the right. When one does hagbah on a Sefer Torah, one first turns to the right. When the chazan leaves the bima with the Sefer Torah, he will go off on the right. And we discuss lighting with the Chanukah lights. That's the way to turn. And that would apply then also to the left-handed person. Another category, he says, is the orientation of the Cheftza. What does that mean? When you do say the parshias, putting them into your tefillin shel rosh, they're done in a certain way. It doesn't make any difference if you're right-handed or left-handed. That's the order of the parshias of the bottom. And the shin, which is on the tefillin shel rosh, on the right-hand side is the shin with the three heads, and on the left-hand side is the shin with the four heads. And of course, the mezuzah is always on the right-hand side. So that's the cheftza, that's the orientation which is defined. So that would apply equally to a left-handed person as well. There are some things where there's a machlokis in the poskim. If the left-handed unties the left shoe first, and there's the arm for tachanun, there's discussion about shechita and bris milah and so on, but we won't go into all those details. But in summary, we find that there are quite a number of instances where we can identify the principles. What are the criteria? So we can say, number one, if the Torah says so, the practicality, the strength, leading to, of course, kavono and hidur and being medaktik in the mitzvahs, to enable one to concentrate, the chashivas of the mitzvah, the importance. We spoke about apianista, the idea of Hashem's right being the chesed, human anatomy, the symbol of learning Torah, Ephraim and Menashe, the symbol of life, of Chaim, Balo, Itzur, talking about a sign of respect. The Kafa Chaim spoke about Malchus, about royalty, and then there's the Yetzer HaTov fighting the Yetzer Hara, as we saw from the Beis Yosef. So in the last Pasuk of Yonah, Hashem says, shall I not take pity on Nineveh, where there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean? So the Malbim explains, Hashem is talking about those people, they cannot distinguish between Avodas Hashem and the mundane. When he says between the right and the left, he means the right is the right derech, to follow what one should follow, and the left is the mundane, Tanuga Olam Hazeh. So I heard an interesting idea from Rav Ruvei Konchli, so I believe he got it from the Chasam Sofer, where if a person enters the Mikdosh, he is entering it with the Shulchan on his right hand side, and with the menorah on his left hand side. Now the Shulchan Lechem Aponim represents the Gashmius, and the menorah, the Or Torah, is representing the Ruchnius. So you ask the question, why is it that way round? Surely it should be the other way round, because the menorah, which represents the Ruchnius, should be on your right hand side when you come in, and the Lechem Aponim and the Shulchan should be on the left-hand side. Alright, a person's going into the Mikdash, he's davening for his parnosa, he's got his bills to pay, he's thinking how he's going to manage with his gashmius, so it might seem quite appropriate that when he comes in, that the Shulchan is on the right-hand side, rather than on the left-hand side. So he explains, it's true that when you're going into the Mikdash, you are thinking about some of your mundane, personal, materialistic matters, but once you are in the Mikdosh, and you get the awe and the reverence, and you're in the place where the Shekhinah is, then you get a different perspective of life. So that when you come out, having benefited from the presence of the Shekhinah, you come out, yes indeed, then the menorah is on your right-hand side, and the Shulchan, the Gashmias, is on your left-hand side. There's a story brought down by a sefer called Ben Ish Yamini, a true story of an irreligious Israeli soldier who was driving along one Friday afternoon, and it was only about 20 or 25 minutes before Shabbos, and he saw a family standing on the side of the road next to a broken down car, stranded, looking quite desperate. So he stopped and he picked them up, and he said, well, where are you going? Where do you live? And it turned out that the place where they live was too far away to get there before the start of Shabbos. So this soldier said to them, look, you can come to my place. It's all right, you can stay with me for Shabbos. They had with them wine and challah, so okay, they were very grateful, and they sat down, and he made them feel welcome, and they made kiddush, and had their meal, and sang zmiras, and they made an amazing atmosphere. Such an amazing atmosphere that it had quite an effect on this soldier. And he was greatly inspired, and he said to them, you know, I would love to take on mitzvahs, but, you know, I'd be very unpopular amongst my friends if I do something like that, especially so suddenly. But I'm very impressed, and I would like to follow your example in some way, in Avodas Hashem, but, you know, people are going to laugh at me, and my relations, they're going to fall out with me. Can you give me an idea of what I can do, which is just something private, something which is quiet, which doesn't make a show of things? And this Haimish Yid said to him, look, we're very grateful for your hospitality, that we have a lovely Shabbos here, and if I may make one suggestion to you, he said, whenever you put on your shoes, always put on the right shoe first. That is Avodas Hashem. And the left shoe second, and you tie your lace, the left one first, and the right second. That is part of Avodas Hashem. He said, okay, I take this upon myself. And religiously, he always made sure that he was putting on his right shoe first. Nobody noticed, nobody knew what he was up to, but that was his personal way of communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One day in the army camp, he had to report for drill, and they were going off on a helicopter, and he realized as he was approaching the helicopter that he didn't do it right. He didn't put on his right shoe first. So he made some excuse to the commander. He said, I've just got to go back to my room for something urgent. I'll be back in a moment. He said, well, hurry up, because the helicopter's leaving soon. He went back to his room, took off his shoes, put on the right shoe first, put on the left shoe second, etc. And then he came out, and the helicopter was gone. And the helicopter crashed with everybody on board being killed. And that moment he said, right, that's it. I take on Yiddishkeit 100%. And after he finished his army service, he went to yeshiva, he went to kollel, a true ben Torah. An amazing story. So you can say, yes, but the cynic might argue, these tiny things, does Hashem really care? Does it really matter? All right, in halacha there are some things, the chachilu b'diyeved, but a person might ask themselves, does it really matter? What we're doing in Yiddishkeit, you know, when we grow up as children, we're told Torah is not a religion, it's a way of life. It's more than just a way of life. Torah is a communication, the highest form of communication between us, Bein Adam L'Mokem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Bein Adam L'Chaveru. Every mitzvah we do is communication. And it's the highest form of communication. To great the spiritual heights, to reach Hashem Yisparach properly, we are communicating with Him every second of the day, even with the mundane. And with that ultimate imperfection, we can achieve a gadlus, even if it's just knowing which shoe to put on first, which hand to wash first. This is all part of Avodas Hashem and brings us closer, giving us a Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you.